Incoming Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell promises to avoid another government shutdown. Lawmakers have until mid-December to turn that promise into reality or not. But it's a good idea to be prepared. The Government Accountability Office reviewed how agencies handled last year's lapse in appropriations. Here to discuss the findings is Yvonne Jones, Director of Strategic Issues at GAO. Yvonne, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So GAO is still looking at this. What is left to learn about last year's shutdown?
Well, we think that we got a good sense of what happened in the three agencies that we departments that we examined: Health and Human Services, the Department of Transportation, and the Department of Energy. We looked at components in each of those three agencies. And basically what we think is that while the shutdown was disruptive to agencies' operations and programs, specifically grants and contracts, the agencies were able to mitigate some effects of the shutdown because of prior experience preparing for shutdowns. Some agencies have funding that continues for more than 1 year so that they could continue to use that funding. And they also consulted quite frequently with the Office of Management and Budget and the Office of Personnel Management, and also daily with top officials within their own agencies. And all of those activities helped to mitigate the impact of the shutdown.
So you mentioned transportation, energy, and HHS. Did you look at those as a department, or did you look at major components within them?
We looked at major components. In Health and Human Services, we looked at the National Institutes of Health. For the Department of Transportation, the Federal Transit Administration, and in the Department of Energy, the Office of Environmental Management. We looked at components because that allowed us to do a more detailed survey of what happened and to find specific examples.
All right, so you picked agencies that are pretty big in terms of some of the other components. And So was the basis grants and appropriations and funding levels? Was that your criteria for choosing those three?
Well, the criteria, yes, it had to do with what was the size of grants for fiscal year 13 in the agencies, as well as the size of contracts, and also the number of staff that were likely to be furloughed, and that was indicated in the agency's contingency plans. We also looked at the Office of Management and Budget report on the shutdown, which they issued in November of last year. So that helped us to understand which agencies might have been more impacted potentially than others by the shutdown.
All right, so let's talk about them one by one then. At HHS, you looked at the National Institutes of Health.
Yes.
And what was the big effect for them, and what was maybe not so bad?
Well, in terms of NIH, what happened was that because a lot of the individuals who oversee grants and contracts were furloughed, there were not people there to help the folks who received grants and contracts. So if questions came up, it would have either not been able to answer the questions, or there would have been delays in answering them because people were furloughed. For example, for people who wanted to register for clinical trials, for a short time the registry was closed, but when NIH realized that there were problems with the closure of the registry, they brought a few people back and opened up the registry. For the review, there's an annual review of grant applications. Approximately 13,700 of those grant applications, the review was delayed because of the fact that staff who would normally review those were furloughed. But they were able to kind of catch up and complete the review of those grant applications by January.
And not so, though, at the Federal Transit Administration, where you said grant activity ceased for a while.
That's correct. At the Federal Transit Administration, basically, the administration and of grant activity and the response to questions to recipients of grants ceased because officials were furloughed during the shutdown. That's right.
And at the Office of Environmental Management at the Energy Department, You write that contract activities generally continued, and how was that able to be?
Well, the activity continued because of the fact that the Office of Environmental Management has what we call multi-year money for those contracts. So the funds were available to continue activities. But as a precaution, because the law requires that agencies look at activities that may be shut down, may not continue to be funded during a shutdown, the Office of Environmental Management issued some stop work orders for contractors, and that resulted in the furlough of about 1,700 contract employees, even though the contracting activities generally continued.
So the funding for the contracts was there, but maybe they were worried about being in an anti-deficiency position for the contractor employees.
That's correct.
We're speaking with Yvonne Jones, Director of Strategic Issues at the Government Accountability Office. And what about agencies? I remember this was a question that came up a lot, that are funded by user fees, like the Patent and Trademark Office. There was some, as I recall, some confusion over whether they could continue or not.
Well, it's each agency has to, and each office has to look at the regulations governing continued activity or the shutdown of activities. But in fact, some offices, and we did not look at the Patent and Trademark Office, but some offices that are funded by fees can continue some of their activities, but they do have to make sure that they are continuing activities that are permitted by the law.
So there's really no blanket rule. It's a kind of a case-by-case situation.
Yes. As a matter of fact, yes, generally activities that are necessary to protect life and property may continue, but because of the varying nature of agency activities, each agency or each office does have to check and make sure that its activities that it wishes to continue are permitted under the law. And, of course, they can consult with the Office of Management and Budget to be sure that they are following the law.
And judging from the report, it looks like OMB gets pretty good marks for being on top of this and giving agencies the correct advice.
Well, we did not assess OMB's advice to the agencies, but what we did was to discuss with them what kinds of advice and interaction they had with agencies. And we do know, based on what the agencies told us, that OMB was very actively providing advice and counsel to the agencies, and the agencies indicated that they did depend upon that in terms of making day-to-day decisions about the shutdown.
All right, so that was the first actual shutdown. It wasn't quite as long as the one prior, which was, what, close to 20 years earlier.
That's correct.
What would you say the main lessons are to be drawn now at this point?
Well, the main lessons are that shutdowns are disruptive because agencies have to turn their attention to determining which activities can continue and which can't and under what circumstances, and they have to provide information to OMB about which activities will continue, the number of people who are on board before the shutdown and the number who will remain after the shutdown. But we did determine that the advice of the Office of Budget and Management and the Office of Personnel Management were very helpful to agencies. And the fact that agencies that had prior experience with shutdowns and that they have different kinds of funding, that is multi-year funding, one-year funding, and fees, that some activities may continue. But agencies also told us that they felt there was a negative impact on staff morale due to the uncertainty about how long shutdowns would go on.
And, of course, this year, as we mentioned in the beginning, the leadership in Congress are all from both parties are promising there will be no shutdown. They don't want a shutdown. But there is still, nevertheless, at least a speck of the possibility of that occurring because of various political arguments that are happening. And without regard to the arguments, would you say it's wise for agencies to at least dust off those plans and instructions they had from last year?
Well, yes, that would be useful. Agencies need to be aware of at all times of the factors that will impact their operation or their lack of operation. And what we in our report, what we recommended is that the director of OMB instruct agencies to document lessons that they've learned in planning and for implementing a shutdown, as well as resuming activities after the shutdown for any shutdown that occurs more than for longer than 5 days. This is a recommendation that we've made for the future because OMB updates its agencies are required to update their contingency plans every 2 years. But we do feel that it's important for agencies to stay on top of the budgetary situation and to always know what steps they need to take and when they need to take them if there's a possibility of a shutdown.
I guess if you were to plot the last three shutdowns in terms of frequency with a French curve, it would show that things are getting more frequent and not less frequent.
Well, I'm not sure that we can necessarily assume that what happened in the past will happen in the future. So I don't really have an answer to that question. I think that the agencies just need to remain very alert to what decisions the Congress is making about budgetary appropriations and take all of the steps that are required by law, policy, and their internal regulations to be ready for a shutdown if one should occur.
All right. Good advice from Yvonne Jones, Director of Strategic Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much for joining me.
Okay. Thank you for asking me.